Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 72, The Slaying of the Demon Jarasandha, Text Number 4. Tadpa duke ativitam paraye charanti. Dayantya badra nasane suchaya grananti. Vedanti te kamaladnava bhava pava vargam. Asad sate yadita ashisa ishananye. Tvad padukeya vivritam pariyacharanti. Dayantya badra nasane suchayo grananti. Vidanti te kamala naba bhava pava vargam. Asasate yadate yadita asisa ishananye. Tvad padukeya viritam pariye charanti. Dayantya badra nasane suchayo grananti. Vedanti te kamala naba bhava pava bhavargam. Asasate yadita asisa ishananye. Ladies,
has anybody got some reading glasses? I forgot mine.
Okay. Shall I bring yours?
You have to, any reading glass or something.
Word for word, twat, your, paduke, slippers, aviratam, constantly, pari, fully, yea, who, charanti, serve, dhyayanti, meditate, upon, Abhadra, of inauspicious things, Nasine, which caused the destruction, Suchaya, purified, Grananti, and described in their words, Vedanti, obtain, Te, they, Kamala, like a lotus, Nabha, O you whose navel, Bhava, of a material life, Apavargam, the cessation, Asasate, harbors desires, Yadi, if, Te, they, Asisa, attain the desired objects. Doesn't work. Okay. Isha, O Lord, not, anye, other persons. Translation. Purified persons who constantly serve, meditate upon, and glorify your shoes, which destroy everything inauspicious, are sure to obtain freedom from material existence. O lotus-eyed one, even if they desire something in this world, they attain it, whereas others, those who do not take shelter of you, are never satisfied, O Lord. Please repeat, purified persons who constantly serve, meditate upon, and glorify your shoes, which destroy everything inauspicious, are sure to obtain freedom from material existence. O lotus-eyed one, even if they desire something in this world, they obtain it. Whereas others, those who do not take shelter of you, are never satisfied, O Lord. Srila Prabhupada's purport, purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada writes in this connection that liberated Krishna conscious persons do not even desire to become free from material existence or to enjoy material opulences. Their desires are fulfilled by Krishna conscious activities. As far as we, King Yudhisthira, are concerned, we are fully surrendered unto your lotus feet, and by your grace we are so fortunate to see you personally. Therefore, naturally, we have no desire for material opulences. The verdict of the Vedic wisdom is that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I want to establish this fact, and I also want to show the world the difference between accepting you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and accepting you as an ordinary, powerful, historical person. I wish to show the world that one can obtain the highest perfection of life simply by taking shelter at your lotus feet, exactly as one can satisfy the branches, twigs, leaves, and flowers of an entire tree simply by watering the root. Thus, if one takes to Krishna consciousness, his life becomes fulfilled both materially and spiritually. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur similarly explains King Yudhisthira's statement. We feel no great urgency to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, nor do we have any personal interest, since we are already seeking your lotus feet, and by your boundless mercy have become taken into your personal association. But in this world there are some whose hearts are contaminated, and thus who think you are not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary man. Or else they find fault with you and even criticize you. This is an arrow piercing our hearts. Therefore, to extract this arrow from our heart, we must call to this place on the pretext of Rajasuya, Brahma, Rudra, and otherwise Brahmacharis, and demigods who reside in each of the 14 planetary systems. When such exalted congregation has assembled, it will be incumbent upon them to first arrange for the Agra Puja, or the first worship of the most worthy person present. And when they are directly shown that you, Lord Krishna, are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the arrow piercing our heart will be removed. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadammayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So these are statements by King Yudhisthira to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna in the assembly of great souls. Yudhisthira has no personal desire for his own glorification. Although when a king performs the Rajasuya sacrifice, he successfully executes such sacrifice, he becomes very famous worldwide. But why does he want to perform it? Not for his own interest, because he's fully satisfied, but just to glorify the Lord. He wants to glorify the Lord. Why? Because there is apparently many persons who do not respect the Lord or do not honor or worship the Lord. And therefore, as he describes in this, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, this non-worship or minimizing of the personality of Godhead is like a sharp arrow piercing one's heart. And therefore, the pain that he is feeling is unbearable when he sees or hears others either disrespecting or not respecting the Lord. When someone has love for someone and someone else doesn't, minimizes that person or somehow criticizes them or even causes them difficulty, that causes more heart pain to the person who loves that person than generally the person who's receiving the pain. So Yudhisthira is feeling this slightness, not slightness, but really a powerful piercing of anxiety within his own heart and mind. So he wants to glorify the Lord and show the position of the Lord worldwide. I was just reading, or hearing actually, Srila Prabhupada, one Srila Prabhupada pastime, where he was with his disciple and personal servant Shruti Kirti Prabhu. And Prabhupada had a very concerned and somewhat worried look on his face. And he was in his room alone with his disciple. And Shruti Kirti could sense there was something weighing heavy on Prabhupada's mind. So he turned to Prabhupada and he said, "Prabhupada, is there some difficulty, some problem?" And Prabhupada turned and he said, "Many of my disciples don't actually believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are not convinced that Krishna is actually God." I mean, that was a shock. And this was many years after Prabhupada had been preaching Krishna consciousness, traveling around the world, and also making many disciples. But he could sense that the understanding his disciples had was either not there at all, or somewhat just, what we say, very neophyte. And therefore, Prabhupada was concerned that if we're not convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no question of honoring and worshiping and actually surrendering to Him. Of course, we can be convinced through philosophical knowledge, and through Shastra, and through Guru, and through various other means of communications. But unless it actually comes into the heart, that worship will not be complete. It'll be what we say, external. And so that external will not satisfy one. Therefore, one has to be convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam. He's the cause of all causes. He's the source of everything. He is the only one Supreme Lord who is the source of everything in existence. And there is no one, Ekala Isha Krishna Asabrita. There is no second person. Everything is really Krishna or Krishna's energy. And therefore, to worship Krishna, to honor Krishna, and to develop one's love for Krishna through the process of devotional service is normal, not extraordinary. But in Kali Yuga, especially in this age, those who take to Krishna consciousness are very few, and are actually considered to be very great souls. But actually, this is actually normal. We are actually acting normal. Because we understand, at least theoretically, hopefully it'll come to the point of vigyan, realized understanding, that there's nothing outside of Krishna, and Krishna, everything we look for, we can find in Krishna through the devotional service of Krishna. Here, Yudhisthira goes on, it's mentioned in the translation, that persons who do not take shelter of the Lord, no matter what they accumulate in this world, or what activities they perform, they're never satisfied. We see that. When we see how the materialists are struggling so hard just to maintain their existence, working so hard to accumulate things, or to accumulate, some position, power, prestige, whatever. But what does it lead to? More of the same. That's all. The working hard simply leads to more working hard. There's no end. So as Prabhupada would must say, that the mode of passion is simply the activity itself, that people find satisfaction in the activity, but the results don't really satisfy them. Or if it does, it is very fleeting, and is always lost in a few moments or a few days. Therefore, working hard perpetuates itself, or continuing on the same path of material desires, material accumulations. And therefore, as it says here, never satisfied. So one can only be satisfied. And Yudhisthira Maharaj here mentions that even if a devotee wants something in this world, say something material, say a person wants to find a nice partner in married life, or needs some economic stability in life in order to, to fulfill some desires, there's no need for that, for a separate endeavor in that direction. And Prabhupada gives the example in one lecture. He says, as the father and mother know the child very well, the child doesn't have to independently do anything to try to fulfill its own needs. All it has to do is follow the directions of the father and mother. And therefore, the parents will provide everything what the child needs. So therefore, one who is engaged in Krishna consciousness doesn't have to separately try to make endeavors in order to fulfill material desires. Because the perfect father and mother, we might say Krishna, and working through the material energy, will take care of his devotee. Sometimes devotees don't have that faith, or if that faith is a little less than what it should be. And therefore, it diverts our attention away from devotional service. But Krishna provides everything. The only problem is, it's that we want things right away. Right? And the idea of the fast track, as soon as I desire something, I immediately want to fulfill that desire. Right? And especially surrounded by the age of Kali and all its glamour, it teaches you, at least through the propaganda of this material world, that you can get anything you want immediately, right? That's the Western propaganda, which is now somewhat filtering in a very permeated way in India now. You can get anything, just dial it on your phone or, you know, just do something but electronically and you can get it. But in Krishna consciousness, when a devotee wants something outside of pure devotional service to Krishna, and it may be necessary in order to stabilize one's existence in order to keep body and mind together, Krishna will provide in due course of time. And if he doesn't provide exactly what we need and when we need it, or when we want it, and then the devotee might think, oh, I think I have to do it separately. And that diverts one's attention. Because Krishna, as Prabhupada said, is Krishna's the perfect father and perfect mother, so he knows exactly how to fulfill the desires of his devotees in such a way that they make progress on devotional service and they're never lacking in their material life. They're never lacking in their material life. Krishna takes care of his devotees directly through his daivi shakti, his spiritual energy, providing what they need when they need it. And if it doesn't come, we might think, but actually sometimes when it doesn't come, a devotee understands, you know, maybe I just didn't need that. At least that's the understanding of one who understands how Krishna takes care of his devotees. Maybe I just don't need that. And then the devotee goes on in his devotional service. But for a devotee, he never lacks anything. As Yudhisthira here confirms, and he's speaking to the Lord directly. He's not just saying it to a group of sages and saints. He's speaking to the Lord directly. Well, those who worship your lotus feet, he says shoes, lotus feet here, everything inauspicious is automatically obtained. Auspicious obtained, and everything inauspicious is automatically destroyed simply by the worship of the Lord's lotus feet. But Yudhisthira Maharaj, because he's a great soul, he wants others to worship the Lord also. A devotee is not satisfied just in her own worship. They feel that when they see others, either persons they know or people in general, not honoring or taking time to fulfill the real goal of life, to worship the Lord's lotus feet, they want to do something. They feel inspired to reach out to these persons and try to inspire them or to give them a chance to come closer to devotional service. So Yudhisthira Maharaj is really, he's really disturbed. He calls it an arrow piercing the heart. I mean, that's painful when you think about that. Not only arrow piercing the body, but the heart, which is the center of life. In other words, my mind is not at all pleased, even though I have nothing in my own life that I need or want. I have your service, I have your association, I understand your glories, but still I'm not happy. Paradukaduki, right? Prabhupada calls that being concerned for the welfare of others. And at the same time, not wanting to see the Lord not honored by others. Sometimes we see persons who may worship the deity of the Lord come to worship the deity simply for some material benefit, to ask for something on the material level. knowing that God is the supreme controller and supreme provider, and also the friend of all living beings. And therefore, why go outside for material things? Just come to the Lord for whatever we need material. Prabhupada gives that particular request a little explanation. He calls it like when you approach a rich man who is very magnanimous and very charitable, and that rich man is pleased with you, he offers you any request you may ask. And you say, "Oh, my dear Mr. Rich Man, thank you, please give me 5 rupees. Haribo." He's prepared to give much more. But not knowing that power and the position of that person, one will not ask for what actually is needed. So those who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for something material is like asking a very rich man who wants to give as much as you want for 5 rupees. Because material things are automatically obtained simply by one's karma. Whatever we're destined to get, we will get on a material level. So no need to approach the Supreme Personality for Godhead for something material. But therefore, there's only one way to approach the Lord. How can I serve? Srila Prabhupada would use himself as an example when he would say, "I never asked so many questions to my spiritual master, but I always asked him one question. How can I serve? How can I serve you? What can I do to serve you which will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" So this is a devotee. Devotee thinks, what can I do to serve? And when devotee gets service, they consider it, what we say, a great fortune to get devotional service. I was just recently taking a little time to do some rejuvenation of health in an atmosphere which was not devotional. And one of the things I learned being there for 3 weeks is it's miserable without the association of devotees. And the opportunity for devotional service. Although hearing was there, reading was there, chanting was there, still, to be in the atmosphere, to come to the temple, to associate with devotees, and to work together to serve the Lord, brings such happiness and satisfaction to the heart. Whereas when we're not in that atmosphere, we can feel the difference. And we feel some lacking. At least I did. And therefore I was always eager to come back, thinking, when can I come back to the association of devotees again? So sometimes we're put in a situation where we're outside our normal activities of devotional service, and Krishna just gives us some realization which you're missing. They say, if you're born in a rich family, you can't really understand what poverty is like. And you can't really appreciate the idea of having wealth. But if you become poor and then you become rich, then you understand how, you might say from the material point of view, how valuable it is of having those riches. For experiencing the poverty, then the wealth is greatly appreciated and used in the proper way. But one who is maybe born in a wealthy family never really appreciates the actual benefit of having such position or such opulence. It's only when you taste the opposite. It's like when you're sick, when you gain your health back, you really appreciate what health is like. But when you're always healthy, you just think, oh, this is normal. So when we're sometimes away or not directly engaged in devotional service, we can taste a little bit of that lack, and then we start to appreciate, especially when it becomes long-term. So, therefore, Yudhisthira Maharaj is feeling for those who don't have that mercy, who don't appreciate the Lord, who don't understand the Lord, and as he says here, who thinks the Lord is simply a powerful historical person. Now, we honor powerful historical people because they have some prestige, they have some accomplishments, there's much Sukriti there. It's naturally to honor someone who is greater in any field. But when we do that to the Lord, as Yudhisthira says, it's like an arrow piercing the heart. It's painful. Because a great historical person is insignificant. Totally insignificant. And therefore, the honor that person gets is like, if you bring that honor to the Lord, it's like giving the Lord a flower that is wilted. To use an analogy. A wilted, old, broken flower. He deserves the best. A very fragrant rose offered with submission and devotion. So, the great souls, and in this case, Yudhisthira Maharaj, is feeling that unhappiness, and therefore, he wants to perform a Rajasuya sacrifice. And he wants to invite the greatest controllers within the universe, Brahma, Rudra, Shiva, the Kumaras, the great souls, and let everyone see how they honor you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then others will begin to understand and begin to appreciate who you actually are. So it's not for his own aggrandizement he wants to perform this sacrifice, but it's just for the glorification of the Lord. So this is devotional service. We may act for different reasons, but when we act as a service to the Lord, and whatever we do, as a service to the Lord and as a service to the Lord's devotees, that is the best of all activities. How to please the Lord and how to please his devotee in our chanting, in our association, even when we take Krishna prasadam. Simple, normal type of activity that we do every day, many times a day, a few times a day, when we do it as a service to the Lord, then that is bhakti. Because it's prasadam, there is sukriti in that activity, but when it's done as an offering to the Lord, that is also bhakti. Krishna gives a formula in the Bhagavad Gita, yat karosi aranasi yat jahosi dadasi yat yattapasi tu kunteya tat kurushad mararpanam. He says, this is the formula for executing. Whatever you do, do it for me. Whether you're a student, whether you are a businessman, whatever you're doing, do it as a sacrifice, an offering to the Lord. And then that activity actually becomes bhakti. And when it's fully engaged in devotional service, then all of one's activities, both material and spiritual, become consummate in the fire of devotional service. And for that person, there is nothing material anymore. It's all spiritual. So that is perfection. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in so many different ways simply to accept our service, our worship, and ultimately our devotion, and then to make our life beneficial. And those, as it says here, those who don't take shelter, though they are never satisfied, no matter how successful they are in whatever field of activity. Why? Because material life cannot satisfy. It's like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada would mention this Material life is like licking the outside bottle of the honey jar. It says honey on it. It looks very nice. Keep the jar closed and just lick out the outside. Some of the honey might spill and just float down on the outside of the bottle. That happens sometimes from somebody else who opened it. But can that honey give you anything? It's not much. All they can do is agitate you for more honey, that's all. And then that's gone soon. So that's material life. It's all a shell. It's external. So Yudhisthira Maharaj is feeling both the pain of his own self for those who minimize the Lord and the pain that they are experiencing by not worshiping the Lord. So he's concerned. So he wants to do something. And therefore he's actually mentioned this to Krishna himself. We would like to perform a Rajasuya sacrifice in your honor. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes.
Haribol. Thank you so much, Maharaji. Maharaji, you mentioned that we can perform taking prasad as a service to the Lord. How is that possible?
It's called prasadam seva. Sarira avidya jal. We chant the prayers to honor prasadam before we take prasadam, because we're actually accepting the Lord's mercy in the form of food. So when we accept the Lord's mercy, the idea of eating food is material. Honoring is spiritual. So when you honor, it's a form of devotion. So you honor the Lord's food by having that mentality that this is the Lord's mercy coming in the form of foodstuffs. So that is the consciousness behind accepting prasadam like that. And prasadam doesn't mean food, it means mercy. So it's seva. It's reciprocation for the mercy. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaji. May I ask one more question, Maharaji? Maharaji, this question is not related to this class. About 2 years back, you had taken a class. You have mentioned that there are three things that a person must have in his life so that he remains happy. One thing you mentioned was that he should take prasadam cooked at home. Second, you mentioned was that he should travel less to work. Third thing. I forgot, Maharaji, sorry.
Well, this is Niti Shastra, but it has some practical value. It says that from a material point of view, if you want to be happy materially, you should have no debts, you should eat home-cooked food, and you should not have to travel to go to work. Live locally, eat food cooked by the wife or family, and don't accumulate debts. So everybody has debts. Everybody eats in restaurants, right? So, yeah, like that. And everybody's traveling, right? Especially in Bombay. 24 hours travel. So that's a practical material thing. So it's not spiritual, but certain material things that are practically understood and applied can help us and support our spiritual life. If we're working hard and traveling all the time and eating in restaurants and have a lot of debts, that's going to really interfere with our practice of spiritual life or deter our minds away from these things. It's unnecessary material struggle. Material life is a struggle anyway, but you can even make it worse. It's bad enough, but it can get really bad. So these three practical things are mentioned as a way to fortify your life in such a way that you don't have to struggle so hard. And it's also based on health. Too much travel and eating food from the outside is not healthy. And of course, debts cause anxiety. Right? That's another form of health. Okay, does that answer your question? Yes, Prabhu?
And
doesn't seem to be working.
Maharaj, as we practice Krishna consciousness, our distress goes. I've seen in my life, I become happy. And then I forget the importance of practicing nicely. So this happens again and again.
Yeah, it's the same old disease. We get a little advancement. We think, okay, it's okay. Then we get a little bit. We start to forget that Maya is always there, always ready to somehow or other wait until we're a little inattentive, and then becoming carefree, becoming careless, or becoming intoxicated by a little bit of advancement. And then one becomes careless or carefree, which is another form of carelessness. Yeah, and then you forget to remember Krishna, or you forget to actually understand that this material world is a very dangerous place. Padam padaya vipadam. And then things go down again. So Krishna consciousness means to keep your consciousness connected with Krishna 24/7. Somehow. In various activities of devotional way, somehow connect with the Lord moment to moment. Either through active service or through chanting, reading, like that. If we're doing our material activities, maintaining our family or doing some occupation like that, we should always be conscious of the Lord in these activities. And make these things as an offering to the Lord also. Don't forget Krishna. There's that verse in the Vishnu Puran, Sahinis. Do you know devotees know that verse? Sahinis starts. What is the greatest anomaly? What is the greatest calamity? What is the greatest mistake? To forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead for one moment. That's from Vishnu Purana, which is one of the Puranas in the mode of goodness. So it gives a really strong that don't forget the Lord. And as soon as you do, you know that at that moment you're vulnerable to the material energy. So we make some advancement. That's nice. We should take that advancement and use it as an opportunity to serve the Lord. Whatever we get from our advancement, we put it back into our devotional service. And that way we're reinvesting. And that way the returns keep coming. Like that. Businessmen know that. You have to reinvest. And not just look at what you make. Okay? Does that help? Is another question? Yes.
This is regarding the deity form of the Lord. People who are against making images of God, they argue that the form that we make in the temples, for example, in ISKCON, there are so many deities of Krishna. Some are white, some are black, and they all look different.
They all look?
Different.
Different.
So, is the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna having a specific look, or his look changes depending upon how his devotees want to perceive him? In every temple, the congregation are attached to the deity because the deity looks a little different and they connect with that particular deity. Mm-hmm. So, does Krishna have a particular specific look or?
Yes and no. What is that? He's one, but he's many. His original supreme form, which is the Adi Purush, is Krishna and Sri Vrindavan Dham, standing in threefold bending form, either playing on the flute or holding his little stick for herding cows, like that. Sri Krishna in Vrindavan is his original form. So we formulate the deity based on Shastric description describing the form of Krishna in Vrindavan, like that. So you have Kishore Krishna, you have Bal Krishna, you have Krishna in his Gopal forms, like that. So all these forms are actually Krishna. And as you, through the process of worship, Krishna reveals himself. Therefore, we might see a beautiful form of the deity, but we might not be attracted to that form as much as the form we are worshipping. Because Krishna comes through the form you're worshipping more. Everyone becomes, what we say, satisfied when they develop an attraction for the form that they're worshipping. And then Krishna reveals himself more and more through that worship in that particular form, like that. So here, devotees are attached to Radha Gopinath. We might appreciate Radha Gokula Nanda in Belgaum, and Radha Vrindavan Chandra in Pune, but you know the heart is with Radha Gopinath because that is where the worship is. But all the forms are Krishna. He's one, but he's many. And he has many moods. You may be looking at the deity, and someone else may be looking at the same deity and seeing two different things. Premanjaritam bhakti vilochanena satasa daiva ridayesha vilokayanti yad shamasunda achintya guna sarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. That as one develops love for the Lord, then Krishna reveals himself more and more through that form that one is worshipping. So, it's like Prabhupada, back in the early days of Krishna consciousness, one very senior devotee who was a temple president of New York, he wanted to make Mangal Arati 4 o'clock. So it was 4:30, he changed it to 4, Mangal Arati. So he did it. And then Prabhupada came. And he was taking darshan of the deity in the morning. And he said to the temple president, "What time is Krishna getting up? He looks very tired." I mean, not everybody was able to see that. But Prabhupada had that transcendental vision. Krishna is tired. And then the temple president said, "Well, we're having Mangal Arati at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, that's too early." Okay, so he changed it to 4:15. So after a few days, Prabhupada came. He said, "Now he looks rested." Okay, so he needed that extra 15 minutes rest. So that's the vision of a pure devotee. You can see Krishna looks hungry, Krishna looks tired, like that. So one can relate to Krishna more and more as one becomes purified through the worship of the Lord. So the forms, yeah, will reveal themselves according to your level of bhakti. For a materialist, the forms simply look like some form statue made by some person, that's all. They have, their vision is simply tainted by material energy, and so they see everything materially. Okay, thank you very... Oh, Mataji, yes. There's another question. Yes.
Maharaj, thank you for such a wonderful class. Maharaj, my question is that as a grastha, it is very difficult to come to attend daily morning program. So if we don't attend the program in a week, like 2-3 days we are not attending the program, still like taste for the chanting goes away and it becomes very difficult for to concentrate on chanting or reading. The enthusiasm, the taste, it goes away. Why is it like that? Because there are so many responsibilities in the grastha life. So it becomes very difficult to attend daily the morning programs. So how to keep the same momentum in the Krishna consciousness, like same taste in that?
Do you have deities at home?
Yes, deities we have, everything. We do chanting, or more and more chanting in the house also. Still, that taste doesn't come if we don't attend the morning programs.
You can have morning program at home.
We do, but the temple association of the devotees is like better than that staying in the home and doing this.
Yeah, Prabhupada said when you're doing business, if you're doing stock, if you're doing stock exchange, if you're living right in the stock market, you get business all the time. If you're outside, you do it every once in a while. So the activity is not as frequent or is not as, what we say, absorbing. So do your best, but then when you get a chance, come to the temple. Make the best possible situation you can at home and then come to the temple. That way we can appreciate that Krishna's there, the devotees are there, Prabhupada's there, Prasadam is there, everything's here at the temple.
I feel very fortunate that we are staying near to the temple. So for 2-3 days if we don't attend, then we think like it is like... There's no hope for us.
It's worse than death, huh? Yeah, that'll increase your separation. But try to come as much as you can. When it's practical, you still have to do your responsibility outside. I have the same situation when I travel. I'm not always able to come to the temple or do morning programs, but I carry a little, I carry a deity and I do a little puja there and chant. I know it's not the same, but you just have to do your best, that's all. And just think, when can I go see Krishna in the temple with all the devotees? It's a spiritual world. But don't go down too far. If you're going down, then that means you're not taking enough time to worship outside. Because Krishna's there too, and your deity and your home. He's not just limited to the temple. The temple has more spiritual energy, but you can create a temple at the home, at your home too. Okay, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande ki jai.